Today we are going to continue in the Ten Commandments. And today we are going to continue on the Ten Commandments on the third commandment. The third commandment that we all are guilty is, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. This is one of those commandments that is we all fall and we all break. And it's so sad when we think about this. Usually we think, the first thing that comes to our mind is the unbeliever who curses the name of God. That's the first thing that comes to our mind. The church today, the modern church, is really guilty and accountable to God for not really exposing the commandments. Haven't shed enough light on the commandments. And even Christians are guilty breaking this commandment, and especially people who call themselves Christians. And I pray that the Ten Commandments are here today. It comes like a knife. Comes like a double-edged sword. Comes like a knife. And it is going to rip our hearts open. And it is going to convict us. And I believe as we continue in the Ten Commandments, your hearts will be totally convicted. Your hearts will be broken. And at the end, you will cry out to God and say, Lord, what a miserable sinner I am. And you will fall down at his feet and worship him. In Psalm chapter 139, verse 20, 39:20 says, For they speak against you wickedly, your enemies take your name in vain. And of course we know that, how God's name is taken in vain today. Now, here when we come to this commandment, we need to realize that the name of the Lord is above every other name. When we are in the court, in front of a judge, we will call him Your Honor. We respect the king or the policeman on the road and the civil authorities in the nation because we fear them, we fear and we respect their authority. But what about God? Who rules not only a nation, but the entire universe. Moses realized the omnipotent God of the universe as he told the Israelites, if you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58, Deuteronomy 28:58, Deuteronomy 28:58 says that, If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. His name cannot be compared to any earthly names. His name is the glorious name, the awesome name, the excellent name, the Lord your God. Above every other name. Of course, in Psalm 83:18, you can write it down. It says that men may know that thou, whose name alone is the Lord, art the most high above all the earth. Psalm 83:18. Of course, it is true when somebody addresses a king, you call him Your Majesty. When you address a judge, you call Your Honor. Well, But if you see a man selling bananas on the street, you call him by name. You don't call him by your honor, your majesty. Why? We address the judge, your honor, because of his title. Because of his title. But if we see the same judge in a grocery store and we don't know he is the judge, he wears just a regular t-shirt and a denims, we don't call him your honor. See, you know, can you please move? Just tell him, talk like a regular person. Why? When it comes to honor here on earth, there's a title involved. The title counts, right? But God does have more honorable titles than anybody else on the earth. He is called the King of Kings, the Judge of the Earth, the Creator, and so forth. The difference between earthly honor and heavenly honor is, earthly honor is given to a title. But heavenly honor is, God doesn't have to wear a robe to get honor. We give honor to God because we honor Him because we honor His name. Not only the title, we honor who He is, His personality, His nature. He is God because His name is holy. You understand? He is God Himself. Doesn't have to wear a robe and say a crown to say, I'm God. His name alone is God Himself. It's holy. In Matthew, Jesus said, when you come and pray, and you have to pray, the first thing you have to pray is that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So important to realize who we are coming to. We all have names given by our parents. I'll tell you, your name is the most sweetest name for you. Your name. You can go to any place where there's a big crowd and you hear your name, you look around. Because that could be the most sweetest name for you. It's an earthly name. But the name of the Lord is not an earthly name. All the other religions, they give names to their gods, and those names are given by men. Those are earthly names given to other gods, given by name. But the name of the Lord is a heavenly name. It is above every other name. It is the most holiest name. It is the awesome name. It is a glorious name. Now, if you are in a courtroom, if you profane the judge by a bad language in front of the judge, you will be punished. But not in a grocery store, on the street, because you are profaning a judge, his title. But God, if you profane God's name, no matter, because if you profane God's name, you are going to be punished because you are profaning God Himself. Because God is holy. In Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 3 says, I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from his people, because he has given some of his descendants to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. If you profane the name of a judge in the courtroom, you will be punished. How much more if you profane the name of God who is the judge of the universe. So, God is our salvation. And, you know, He has delivered us from our adulterous works. He has delivered us from darkness. How we need to thank Him and give glory to His holy name. And how our hearts need to rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Because He brought redemption when we were in uttermost darkness on the way to hell. He brought us redemption. And how we need to reverence His holy name. His name is holy. Not only holy, Isaiah cried out the angels in heaven call Him day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." What about how many times you hear people blaspheming the name of God? Blaspheming the name of God. What do you mean by blaspheming the name of God? It means blaming God. Not respecting to His authority. Speaking not of reverence. Speaking against God or speaking against any of His sacred things is blaspheming the name of God. Speaking profane language against God Almighty. Now the punishment for blaspheming the name of the Lord in the Old Testament was death. It's death. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. Starting from verse 11. Leviticus 24, starting from 11, says here, "And the Israelite's woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses." His mother's name was Shemlomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. "Then they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Take outside the camp him who has cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death." That means no favoritism. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord is being stoned to death. You see how severe the punishment against whoever who come against the authority and the personality of the name of God. You can see His power. You can see His authority. You can see His sovereignty. It's not like another judge or somebody else here. You are coming against the most highly, most powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent God. But today, God's name is blasphemed on television. The TV is the devil's tool to make you worldly. Some of you call yourself Christians, but you watch all the Hollywood programs, the Hollywood stars, who they blaspheme the name of God, and you're watching them. The movies are more important to you. It has become a part of your life, more than the Bible has become a part of your life. And you are listening to those profane language that comes out of the TV and movies that clearly run everywhere in your house. And it is true that the devil has become your friend and not God. You're not respecting God. When you are watching these programs, the profane language comes out of the TV, you are also involved in it, in profaning the name of the Lord, because you're watching it. And you become a friend of the devil. God's name is holy. And there's punishment in the lake of fire. Who practices and who entertain these evil practices. Because God is not going to tolerate it. His name is infinitely holy. If you call yourself a Christian, you are bearing the name of God. You are bearing the name of our Lord. If you call yourself a Christian, you are Christ-like. You are bearing, you are saying, I'm Christ-like. I follow Christ. You are bearing His name. And you are the representative to this world. Christ's representative. You are the light to this world. But many times, it is sad to see that your language and behavior doesn't match. They are contrary to each other. It doesn't match. The Bible speaks about people like this. If you turn with me to Timothy, Titus chapter 1, verse 16. 1:16. Says here, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. And sometimes, when things doesn't go right, when things doesn't go your way, it doesn't go right, you get mad. Get upset. You get angry. And, of course, sometimes bad words come from your mouth. As you deny the truth of God. You're denouncing His truth. You're denouncing His power because you get angry. Things doesn't go your way. Now you get mad. That means you're coming against the providence of God. You're coming against His providence. You're coming against His preservation. But because you want things to go your way. In fact, in reality, you're coming against the name of God. For the name of God, Paul said, Romans 2:24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Pretty powerful scripture there. Instead of becoming a light to the unbelievers, you become a stumbling block. Because your language and your behavior doesn't match. Of course, there's cursing God then. Cursing God is to utter evil, profane language to God. Generally, this happens when you have a big temper. Your blood runs straight to your brain and you cannot control yourself. Your temper, violent temper. The first thing that comes is your tongue keeps, babbling. Again, we see in bad situations, when we expect unexpected things, we want our way most of the time, but it doesn't happen that way all the time. God is sovereign. When unexpected things happen, we begin to scream. We begin to roar. We get upset. And then curse God. What happened to Job? He lost his all his wealth. He lost his family. Lost all his children. Lost all his wealth. Lost all his cattle and everything. Not only that. Job was not only in emotional pain, he was also in physical pain. There were boils all over his body in pain. And his wife said, curse God and die. Of course, Job enjoyed a nice life. He was a wealthy man. And suddenly, the unexpected came. Can happen to any of us. You may be living in a very comfortable job, in security, money in your bank account, thinking about the future. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God is sovereign. Remember, God is sovereign. And seeing and enjoying movies that pleases the flesh is not going to help you. We see these actors and actresses, you know, they are cursing the name of God. They curse God. And this is affected in our society today. Wherever you go, you hear this. When somebody is under pressure, you will hear the first thing is the name of God is cursed. How many of us say that we are Christians, but when we come under pressure, you curse the name of God? Remember Peter? When Peter was under pressure, when the Lord was going to be crucified, they were flogging our Lord, and Peter saw that God, our Lord was going to be crucified, and somebody came and told, I know this man, he was with him. And what did Peter say? He said, I don't know him. Then he began to curse and swear and say, I don't know him. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We need to remember Peter has not received the Holy Spirit at that time. But we have received the Holy Spirit. There's a difference there. There are false Christians, people who call themselves Christians, hypocrites, who takes the name of the Lord in vain. When they say they are Christians, in reality they are not. It's a lie. They seem to honor God with their lips, but their hearts do not love Him. Their hearts go after the lusts of this world, the fleshly things. That's where their hearts are. But in their mouths, they praise the Lord. They show themselves as they are Christians, but their hearts are far away from God. Their hearts goes after the world, the lustful things. That's where their hearts are. And they are not Christians. That's a lie. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1. 1 says, the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he see the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever he hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes, take him away, his blood shall be on his own. Hey, it's a warning for us. The Ten Commandments warns us, but if you are not going to listen to it, you are accountable. God is going to take care of you. That's why here we see how guilty we become. And Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, same chapter. Thirty-three, thirty-one says, "So they come to you as my people, as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain." In their mouth they profess to be Christians, but their hearts are rooted on earth, not on heavenly things. Their eyes are lifted up to heavens, but their hearts are rooted on earth. They profane and abuse the word of God. They are wicked in their hearts, but their mouth speaks the word of God. It does not seem right when a wicked man speaks the word of God. There is something wrong there. It doesn't match. It doesn't match when a wicked man who is totally earthly, who is going after the lust of the earth, suddenly he speaks the word of God at the same time. How can the word of God, the sacred, holy word of God, comes out of the wicked man? It doesn't match. The most ugliest sin in the entire Bible is when the devil quoted scriptures to Jesus Christ. You know that? The devil quoted scriptures to Jesus Christ. That's the most ugliest sin in the Bible. To hear a wicked man who continually lives in sin, and of course they say, "Oh Lord, I repent," but continually living in sin without any true repentance is like having a gold chain and jewelry on a pig. They have God in their mouths, but they have the devil in their hearts. You know what? According to the law of the Old Testament, when a man has leprosy, when a man had leprosy, leprosy is a type of sin. What they did was, they put a covering upon his mouth. They covered his mouth, and the man will cry and say, "Unclean, unclean," but they covered the man's mouth with a cloth. In the same way, a person who calls themselves a Christian but speaks against God, profanity or bad language against God, should cover his mouth. They should not speak the words of God, because he is unfit to speak the word of God, because he is taking the name of God in vain. How many people mock God? How many of you have heard? The Bible says that a fish swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Come on, you want me to believe that? The Bible says that, Noah built an ark, and all the animals were in that ark. The Bible says that God created the earth. The Bible says that Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. These people read the Bible to mock God. They deny his power and authority, yet they use God's word in vain. God is going to punish them in due time. There are some people who will use God's word to defend their sins. They will use God's word to defend their sins. There are some people who will use scriptures and didn't Jesus do that? Didn't he live with the sinners? Didn't Jesus say to the religious leaders who brought a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, he said, whoever who is without sin, and she told her also, sin no more. How many people use the word of God to mock God, to defend their sins, and also they use the word of God at the same time, and also but their hearts are not right in God. Their hearts are worldly. And you are coming against the name of the Lord here. You are calling yourself a Christian. You are bearing His name. And how many would say, I swear God? That's another one I hear. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, for it is God's throne. Matthew 5, 34. Of course, in court, we see a defendant or as a defendant or a witness who confirm an oath. Using God's name, what you are telling is the truth. And if you are not telling the truth, you have taken the name of God in vain. You are giving false testimony. You have taken the name of the Lord in vain. How many do that for money? Leviticus chapter 19 verse 12 says, and you swear by my name falsely, neither shall thou profane the name of thy Lord. I am the Lord. You understand? When you say you are a Christian, how important it is that you are bearing the name of God and you are not to swear any false witness, because you have testified, you are telling the truth, and you shall not swear by God's name falsely, because if you do, you will profane the name of the Lord. How about using God's name in our idle conversation? In our general talk, how many times you hear the word, oh my God? How many times you hear, oh Jesus? Or Jesus Christ? Or simply God? Of course, when you are doing your idle conversation, you are not thinking of God. Absolutely not. When you say, oh my God, you're not in prayer, you're not in repenting, you're not reading the Bible, you're not thinking of God, you're thinking fleshly things. Your mind is on earth, suddenly you use the name of God. That is using the name of God in vain. That's a sin. To bring God's name in idle conversation when we are not even thinking of Him, it is taking the name of the Lord in vain. His name is holy and needs to be spoken with a holy fear upon our hearts, not taking very lightly and saying, thank you, God. It's like telling something. Thanks, Chris, What kind of reverence is that? There are many who are guilty here because His name is every other name. We need to be careful when we use His name because His name is awesome. His name is holy, majestic. We need to be careful in our daily conversation. Remember, even in our prayer time, before the meals, a quick prayer. Oh God, I thank you for this food. No, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know whom you are talking to? We need to be careful. Remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu? If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, 1 and 2. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. We need to listen to this. We need to know this story. Who is Nadab and Abihu? I mean, they are the sons of the high priest. They went to the temple where only the high priest can go. And they put incense before the Lord and offered a strange fire. Strange fire is an earthly fire, not the fire that comes from heaven. It's an earthly fire. They took the commandments of the Lord very lightly. They were not serious. But God killed them on the spot. God devoured them. They thought they were doing the right thing. They went without instructions. Without any directions to the holy place. They had a misguided zeal, not according to knowledge. Their zeal was misguided, not according to knowledge. Remember, these are the sons of the high priest. And also, we are the sons of the living God. And we should not take lightly the name of the Lord. Even when it comes to the name of the Lord, we should not take it lightly. Just because these people had a zeal, we had to be careful. We follow the instructions, the commandments of the Lord. Your emotions are not going to do it. These people were emotionally caught up. How even we use the name of Jesus in vain, so lightly. Remember, He is not the earthly Jesus anymore. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Of course, we know that John, the beloved, was leaning against Jesus' breast. What comfort you can get in Jesus. You can call Him by your friend, Jesus. Also, He is your brother. But at the same time, He is the second person of the Trinity. When John heard the voice of Jesus in the book of Revelation, he fell as if he was dead. Remember? So we are prohibited to take it very lightly. The name of Jesus, where every knee shall bow, every head will bow down and worship Him. In the name of Jesus is a powerful name. We need to show reverence and affection to the name of God, to the name of Jesus. The name should be mentioned in a very serious manner. That means with fear, and because He is the majestic God in heaven. How many are coming to the pulpit? And they make the audience laugh, the pastors, today's most preachers, that's what they do. They look for jokes. So they will make people happy and laugh. But they come in the name of the Lord. They come in the name of the Lord. But they have all these earthly jokes. And I was listening to one radio station, or this pastor was a very prominent pastor, was making all but jokes, and he's teaching the book of Numbers. It's a Calvary Chapel pastor. He's telling, Numbers is where you begin to read, Job is how to find a job, then he goes on how he went on a trip to Belgium, and how his wife and somebody else, they were given whiskey and they had to drink that, and they was talking to somebody and that person cracked a joke and everybody is laughing now in the church. But they are coming in the name of the Lord. I don't care how big your church is, how famous your pastor is, if you are attending one of these churches, you need to flee because you are in danger. You don't mix the name of the Lord with jokes. God is awesome. He is holy. He needs to be reverenced in fear and trembling. You don't find any jokes in the Bible. Here, the apostles crack jokes. You're talking here, your soul. How about murmuring? Murmuring. When we go through a hard time, we love to murmur. We should have done this, we should have done that. Huh? Pointing the fingers and everybody else, why we didn't do this, why we didn't do that, it's our fault. Begin to murmur. Murmur against what? Against God's providence again. This is a subject that is not taught in the church today. The providence of God. They begin to murmur, the children of Israel, right? In the wilderness. I mean, Moses had to carry these people and they're murmuring, and Moses, just imagine what they would have told Moses. They were, Moses, you should have gone that way. You should have gone this way. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And God said, we do not realize that God is in control in everything. Nothing happens accidentally. Even a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his knowledge. Murmuring comes from a bitter root. It comes with pride. That means you are not content. You are not content. And it takes the name of God in vain. It is a sin that God cannot bear. When God said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who murmur against me, against my name, against me? Has taken the name of God in vain. Murmuring. What's the conclusion? I think we are all guilty, aren't we? We are all guilty. That's what the Ten Commandments do. Expose the holiness, the majesty of God, and show how evil we are. And it will cut our hearts open, ripped open, and we will cry in repentance to God. And the word Ten Commandments is direction in our moral life. Not the television. We are living in a generation today, we have no fear of God. Absolutely not. We can hear the word today. It will not even melt our hearts. It will just listen. And nothing happens, and we can go home as nothing happened. Absolutely not. We are living in the most wicked generation. Even the most strongest, the word of God will not even pierce, not even touch your heart sometimes. Why? I think because we are living in a generation where media, television, movies, this is where people are getting fed, not from the word of God. I believe that. I believe people are getting fed, people who are calling themselves Christians, they are getting fed from the television. They cannot go without television. They get headaches. Majority of the churches are guilty as they have no reverence and no fear of the Lord. Even the church worship today, just imagine the church worship as they worship with all kinds of musical instruments. Huh? And people are looking, wow, what beautiful sound. How neat the service. They're not worshiping the Lord. It's an emotion. It's a feeling of worshiping the Lord. They are distracted by all kinds. So the voice of the musicians and the musical instruments, they're not worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth. It's an emotional build-up. It's an emotional build-up to lift up your spirit, kind of. Then the pastor comes and he gives his message. And he gives to give his message to the people to make people happy. To make people comfortable. Doesn't want to give a strong sermon because he might lose the people if he does. If he talks very strict on the people, that person might not come next time. And that will affect his salary. Where's the money now? So, he will make his sermon to be more attractive to the people. To be more comfortable. So, he mingles the holy word of God. Of course, he will speak of scripture. Of course, he will use the word of God. Of course, he will use the scripture. But mingles with jokes and humor. Because he wants the people to be comfortable. And also he wants to use the word of God at the same time. You cannot mingle the holy word of God with jokes and humor at the same time. Because this word is holy. What is the outcome? Can you get worldly Christians? Worldly Christians. Call themselves Christians, but totally, mind is totally out. The conduct of the so-called Christians, they have no effect to the world. Absolutely no. Your behavior has no impression to the world at all. When you're out there, at your work, wherever you are, in school, wherever you are, there's no impression to show that you're a Christian. Absolutely not. You're just like anybody else. Should be very evident to us how glorious, how awe-inspiring God is. And He is worthy to be feared. His name is worthy to be feared. Our very conduct must cause to others to have an impression on God. Is it happening? Even Abraham said, if you can remember in Sodom and Gomorrah, how Abraham talked to God. He talked to God straight. And Abraham answered, he was feeling very comfortable now talking to God. You know, he's talking to God, if I have, 20 people, God, will you destroy? God says, no, if you can't find 20. How about 10? No. So he felt so bold. Then at the end, Abraham realized, and he told God, he told, and Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which I am but dust and ashes. Just imagine. When you come and talk the name of God, use the name of God, you realize who you are. You're not in the same level. You're but dust and ashes. So remember, today you hear radio sermons and television and churches. You are very fancy looking, a lot of people. It doesn't mean anything. God is not going to look at that and say, wow, you know. He's going to want it. That's why from this pulpit, you don't hear jokes. I'm not studying day and night looking for jokes. I'm not doing that. I used to do that when I was an Armenian. But not anymore. I can't. Impossible. Our goal is to glorify the name of the Lord. As somebody was praying yesterday in the prayer meeting, some might wonder, how come we are the same? You know, we are so small. Right? It's always been the minority. Throughout the Old Testament, it's always been the minority. It's always been the remnant. It's always, always. But God is with us. Who can be against us? And even Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, 11. First Peter 4:11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with his ability which God supplies, that all in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you're speaking the word of God, you are not going to mix up any humor and jokes. No, that doesn't say here. If anyone speaks, let him speak the very oracles of God. Nothing else. God's word cannot be polluted with jokes. His word is holy. His word is eternal. His word is pure. You cannot put anything. His word alone needs to be preached with conviction and with encouragement. So we need to be loyal to our God. Loyal. And we need to honor His name. We need to honor and fear, honor Him. And also we need to have that reverence and fear, and also trusting Him and being loyal to us. To His truth. His name needs to be acknowledged above every other name. Let's pray.